I would like to just take a quick moment to thank Larry and Laura for your service in our Primetimers ministry. If we're left up to me, it wouldn't have been as good as what it was. So thank you for serving in that way and blessing that group of people, because I know everybody who stepped foot in the room felt loved and appreciated, and your leadership really extended that to them. So thank you for that. Today we're going to continue on in our six-week series called By Faith. And it's a series where we've marked the heroes of Scripture found in Hebrews 11. Our first week we looked at Cain and Abel. Last week we looked at Enoch and what he did. And this week we're going to look at Noah. And we all know what happened there, don't we? It's a story that many people know, many kids know. And it's a story, if you say Noah and the Ark, you're sure to find some measure of knowledge to that story with anybody we meet. So we're going to jump right into the Scripture. We have a lot to read today and a lot to learn from Noah's life as he built this ark. Genesis 6 starts out, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening of 1 cubit high all around. Put a door on the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark 2 of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you, 2 of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. The Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate. And also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth, and Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds, and of all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the floodwaters came on the earth. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his 3 sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings. Pairs of creatures that have breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. It's a long story, and it goes on a little bit further, but we're going to stop there. There's 4 things I believe that we can take home from the story of Noah and the ark and at this point in his life. The first thing is this: Noah lived a certain standard of living. We read in 6:9, Genesis 6:9 tells us that Noah was a righteous man. This is the first time the word righteous is used in the Bible. But Noah's righteousness is also mentioned in other places. In Ezekiel 14, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, if a country sins against me by being unfaithful and I stretch out my hand against it to cut off its food supply and send famine upon it and kill its people and their animals, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they could only save themselves by their righteousness, declares the sovereign Lord. Or if I send wild beasts through that country and leave it childless and it becomes desolate so that no one can pass through it because of the beasts, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, even if these three men were in it, they could not save their own sons and daughters. They alone would be saved, but the land would be desolate. Or if I bring a sword against that country and say, let the sword pass throughout the land, and I kill its people and their animals, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, even if these three men were in it, they could not save their own sons or daughters. They alone would be saved. Or if I send a plague into that land and pour out my wrath on it through bloodshed, killing its people and their animals, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they could neither save son nor daughter. They would only save themselves by their righteousness." 2 Peter 2:5 says, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others." Noah's righteousness didn't come from his good works. His good works came because of his righteousness. Like Abraham, his righteousness was God's gift in response to his personal faith. We must, as Noah did, live a righteous life. Genesis 9:6 also tells us that Noah was blameless among his people. If righteous describes Noah's standing before God, then blameless describes his conduct before people. Blameless doesn't mean sinless, though, because nobody but Jesus Christ ever lived a sinless life on this earth. The word blameless means having integrity, whole, unblemished. We must, as Noah did, live a blameless life. Genesis 9:6 also tells us that Noah walked faithfully with God throughout his life. What does this look like for us today? Some would call it practicing your spiritual disciplines, things like Bible reading, prayer, fasting, practicing the Sabbath, worship, and more. I think so the question is needed this morning for us. Are you reading your Bible? Do you have a Bible to read? Are you praying? Do you know how to pray? Are you walking faithfully with God as Noah did, as Enoch did, that we learned last week? This past Friday, we had Yvonne Jones' funeral here at the church, and as I listened to family members and friends describe Yvonne, I began wondering how I, myself, would be remembered. Will I be remembered as a man, as a husband, as a father who walked faithfully with God? Will my children and one day grandchildren be able to say to whomever they meet that their dad or grandpa walked faithfully with God and that one day they want to do the same? What legacy am I leaving for my lineage? What legacy are you leaving for your lineage? Noah left quite a legacy for his lineage. We must, as Noah did, walk faithfully with God. Are you living a righteous life? Are you living a blameless life? Are you walking faithfully with God? Are you living under the same standard of life that Noah did? Or are you simply just traveling through, not making any ripples? The second thing that we can learn from Noah's life is that he embraced the crazy.
Make me an ark. Go for wood. Get it?
Go.
Well, it's not really go for wood. I just like the wordplay. No, it's pine and maple. It was clear cut from this valley to make room for all those houses.
Excuse me, do I know you?
Not as well as I'd like. I see you got my housewarming gift.
That was you? You sent those? What are they for? Hey.
Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. I want you to build an ark.
You want me to build an ark?
Yes.
So that's why the tools, and you are responsible for the wood? All right, well, let's just start over. Ha-ha! Hello, I am Evan Baxter.
Born June 15th, 1962. 8 pounds, 11 ounces. Mother's Carol Ann Parker. Father Eugene Evan Baxter.
Ooh, you have internet access. Very impressive. Do you also have cable?
You're a clean freak. You care much too much about your outward appearance. Your left nipple is a quarter inch higher than your right nipple. And when you were a little boy, you were afraid of Gumby.
Who are you?
I'm God.
You're God.
Yes. And I want you, Evan Baxter, to build an ark.
Okay, you know what? This conversation is a little thing I like to call over. But I gotta get going. Because, frankly, I have an ark to build. Busy. Nice meeting you. Take care. Oh, and... All right. See you later.
Genesis 6:14.
Just a little modern flair on an old story. I wonder if some of the things that were said in there are things that we would say to God if he was here. I think we can relate to a lot of that video when it comes to God asking us to do things, can't we? There were many truths found in that video. When Evan asked if he knew him, the response was very close to the one that we may get. Not as well as I'd like. Right? Do you fear that answer from God? When God began to speak of the things closest to the core of Evan, the response was the same that many of us have too, isn't it? This conversation is something that I like to call over. We don't want to be vulnerable with anybody or anything. At this point in the movie, Evan wasn't ready to embrace the crazy. God told Noah he was going to send enough rain to flood the world. God told Noah to build an ark. Can you imagine the conversations he would have had to have after this information? Starting with himself and then to his family? But I'll tell you something. I don't know if we in this room would be ready for quite that assignment. Our answers may go something like this. I will do this thing as long as I do not have to be vulnerable to anyone or anything. I will do whatever you ask me to do as long as I don't get ridiculed for it. I will do whatever you ask me to do as long as I am comfortable. I will do whatever you ask me to do as long as, fill in your blank. We put stipulations on what God is asking us to do. We put parameters on what we are willing to do. What if we took those stipulations away? What if we took those parameters away and said, God, I will do whatever you ask, wherever you want me, whenever you want it done, regardless of what it may seem to those around me. What would happen in your life? I think and I believe that we would see things far greater than the ark. I think and I believe that we would see the movement of God through our homes, through our extended families, through our neighborhoods, through our country, through our world. Are you willing to embrace the crazy? And if you are, you're in fairly good company. In Mark chapter 3, we read this. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." Jesus' family believed he was crazy. He was out of his mind doing the things that he was doing, embracing the calling that he was in. Are you ready to embrace the calling that God is asking you to be in? Are you ready to embrace the crazy? I just really like the phrase, embrace the crazy. So I'll say it again, embrace the crazy. The third thing we learn from Noah is that he had confidence in the confirmation. What I mean by that is that he was confident in the things that God was going to do, the things that God was showing him that he was going to do. He told Noah certain things through the process that was going to happen, and he was confident in that. One of the first things that he told him was that two of every animal will come to you, Noah. They will come to you. You don't have to go out and seek them, find them. Frankly, I'm not even sure Noah knew all the animals. So they had to come to him to make sure he didn't miss any. Noah, if you are to do this, I will send the animals to you. I don't know if God did it to alleviate the pressure. I'm already building an ark, God, and you want me to go find all the animals too? What we do know is that God promised to do something as long as Noah did what he was asked to do. God confirmed the calling by sending the animals. Second thing God did there was God shut them in the ark. He closed the door. Locked them in. I heard this week that sometimes God shutting the door isn't him shutting the door on an opportunity, but he is shutting the door so we don't have to experience the rain that is on the other side. But so often we want to stay outside the door, don't we? But we'll drown out there. We'll get flooded out there because that's our wants and needs that we think we have. The third thing that happened is that it rained. God said it was going to rain a lot, and it rained a lot. This is the culmination of everything that Noah had worked towards. If it didn't rain at the end of this, I don't want to know what would have happened to Noah, to his marriage, to his relationship with his kids, to the people around him. The fact that it rained told Noah that he followed the calling placed on his life. The fact that it rained told his family that Noah was following the calling that God placed on his life. And finally, one of the last things that happened was that we see a rainbow. We see it in all the kids' Bibles, the nice rainbow. But Noah, because you did this, because you followed through on the calling that I gave you, because you were obedient, I will not punish the earth again with another flood. This is a symbol to show that. And every time you see it, remember that. Every time you see the rainbow, remember that you have a calling in life that is far greater than what you're doing right now. The rainbow is a symbol for us this morning, a symbol of a legacy of a man of faith. This leads us to the last thing we learned from Noah this morning. And Noah had an undeniable obedience to God. God laid out exactly what he needed done. He laid out exactly what he wanted Noah to do. Make yourself an ark. It has to be 300 cubits long by 50 cubits wide by 30 cubits high. To put it for us today, 450 feet long by 75 feet wide by 45 feet high. There's one in Kansas built to those measurements. He also said, gather every kind of food needed. Bring two of every animal that I send you. If he didn't do all of this stuff, I don't think they would have lasted. If he didn't follow every step that God put there, it wouldn't have happened. The material that he was to use was cypress wood and pitch. The NLT translates it as tar as the material. Follow all of these steps, Noah, and I will save you and your family. In the midst of what would have seemed crazy to everyone around Noah, we read four times in this passage that he did everything just as God commanded him. Not partially, not most of the way, not merely, but just as God commanded. He was undeniably obedient to the calling God placed on his life, and because of this, he has become a hero of the faith. Are you undeniably obedient to God's calling on your life? Are you willing to live a standard of life that causes you to live a righteous life, a blameless life, a life faithfully walking with God? Are you willing to embrace the crazy? Are you confident in the confirmations around you? Are you ready to be undeniably obedient to what God is calling you to this morning? What is God calling you to this morning? I'm sure you have an idea, but it just seems way over the top. Way too crazy for you to even approach. There's a grouping of people that I have addressed that I haven't addressed yet. And that is the people around you. Well, I get this great calling on my life, but what about my spouse who says you're crazy? I can't follow that. God's not really calling you to that. Or maybe she would just say you're a moron. It's not always the wife. Sometimes it's the husband to the wife too. What do I do? This is crazy. This will take us away from our family. This will cost us financially, relationally, emotionally, and the list can go on because the person outside of that calling is looking at everything rationally, whereas you are looking at it passionately, ready to go regardless of the cost. What should I do in this moment? I think this clip sums it up for us.
Oh, excuse me, can I get a refill, please?
Coming right up. Excuse me, are you all right?
Yeah. No, it's a long story.
Well, I like stories. I'm considered a bit of a storyteller myself.
My husband, have you heard of New York's Noah?
The guy who's building the ark.
That's him.
I love that story. Noah and the Ark. You know, a lot of people miss the point of that story. They think it's about God's wrath and anger. They love it when God gets angry.
What is the story about then, the Ark?
Well, I think it's a love story about believing in each other. You know, the animals showed up in pairs. They stood by each other, side by side. Just like Noah and his family. Everybody entered the Ark side by side.
But my husband says God told him to do it. What do you do with that?
Sounds like an opportunity. Let me ask you something. If someone prays for patience, you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? If they prayed for courage, does God give them courage? Or does he give them opportunities to be courageous? If someone prayed for the family to be closer, do you think God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings? Or does he give them opportunities to love each other? Well, I gotta run. A lot of people to serve. Enjoy.
Just stand and sing with us as we close off this service. We're going to close off with My Life. We sang it earlier. Have your will, have your way in my heart for all my days. Take my life, take control. I am yours.